we want to make this app for the entire family, but we don't want to put the HBO name on it, because when you think HBO, you think Game of Thrones and people having sex with dragons and the like.
And now what they're learning is there's nothing wrong with having sex with dragons.
If you know, you know. We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5n1.net.
We are now down to 8 from 14. This is not Chico Alexander. This is Jason Block. Chico Alexander is making money for himself this week as he is on a boat having a good time with his sister and making more money for everybody else. So I have my two buddies with me to recap the wild card and all the crazy news that has happened over the weekend. First off, our sound guy, Mr. VRM. How are you, sir?
We have a sound guy that must be from New Jersey or something.
Okay, the first two-thirds of this weekend was amazing. The nightcaps on Sunday and Monday, not so much.
Not so much. And, of course, the guy who actually helped me out a lot this week, thank you so much, the man from the North Coast, Ian McClinn.
You're very welcome. Greetings from the North Coast. Good evening, gentlemen. And, well, it's a good weekend when Paul Allen doesn't have to do any playoff games. But then again, maybe not so if you happen to be a Vikings fan yourself. So it's a double-edged sword on my side. Then again, the Browns typically don't do playoff football themselves.
But what we've...
This is one of those years where the Vikings, they alternate between playoff, no playoff, playoff, no playoff. No playoff this year. Hopefully the trend continues next year.
Well, all I know is that let us start off with game one, which was the Saturday afternoon game on Fox with Guy Greg, I believe, was calling it. And believe it or not, the Carolina Panthers gave the Rams a game, a real good game, and the Panthers almost won the whole damn thing. But the Rams squeaked by with a 34-31, and this was an excellent game. Matthew Stafford, 24-42, 304, 3 touches, 1 pick, 1 sack. Puka Nacua actually ran one in by his own damn self, but laser. He was targeted 18 times. Davante Adams had a mini Tecmo, but I believe he came back in the game. 5 of 13 for 72. Colby Parkinson had a touch, and Kyren Williams had a touch. Over on the Panthers side,
111 yards for Nacua, 10 receptions.
Yes, 10 receptions for 111.
Bryce Young. Had one of wasn't his better he days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 21 of 40, 264, one touchdown, one pick, sacked twice. The running game didn't do much in terms of between the 20s, but in the red zone, oh boy.
Chuba Hubbard, not one, but two. Bryce Young ran one in by his own damn self. And of course, laser. Jalen Coker, 9 of 12, 134 and a touch. But VRM, you watched this game. How did the Rams escape?
So, number one, there was a lot of fourth down shenanigans. And I don't mean that in terms of there's ref ball or anything like that. No, this is a matter of both teams went for it on fourth down a lot. In fact, looking at the We've got 1-for-2 for the Rams, 0-for-3 for the Panthers. So they tried, and the third downs were not good on either side. 3-of-13 for the Rams, 5-of-12 for the Panthers.
Correct.
The turnover battle was
even.
Pretty even. It was in the Rams' favor, as both teams had one interception. Panthers also had a fumble, and it was got to a point where, with 2 minutes to go, the Panthers were in the lead, 31-27.
Right.
But by the point where they had the 2 minute warning, the Rams were already on their own 46. They get an 18-yarder to Nacua, then an 11-yarder to Mumfield, then the aforementioned touchdown to Colby Parkinson, and then the Panthers proceed to go 4-and-done on. On 4 straight pass plays from their own 28.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, but again, now, but the thing was, is that I will admit, and Chico will, you know, when next week he'll go, bah, ha, ha. But the thing is that I think I was the only one who basically said, take the Rams in the cover. Panthers really did their job. They did their job.
Yes, and I went with the Rams, and I think I went with the Panthers to cover. So
yes, you did. I believe.
Bingo.
DRM, you did the same. I believe. Okay, so the nightcap. Oh dear God, a tale of two halves.
Oh yeah. Boy, we almost had the memes return. The memes almost came back for this one because we thought the Bears were done. It was 21-3 at the half.
And Brian Henniger was happy as a pig shit. Then the second half happened. Oh my God.
Yeah, and then the Packers offense fell off a cliff. The Packers offense just at the start of the second half, immediate three and out. Then another three and out, then a five-play punt, then another three and out.
And then there was a touchdown,
as that's happening, the Bears are starting to build back. They build back to 21-16. The Packers get a touchdown, Brandon McManus did nope. The second missed kick of the night.
Yep.
Bears march down the field, get another touchdown. It's a 3-point game. Packers get in the field goal range, and Brandon McManus, it's wide again.
Yeah, I know. For the Bears, as John Sterling's degenerate doppelganger could have said.
And then two of the most picture-perfect passes that Caleb Williams has ever thrown.
All year.
Not just all year. I mean, I think they're picture-perfect for his career.
You're talking the 23-yard pass, then the 25-yarder to...
It was actually the 12-yard pass for Caleb for Colston Loveland first.
Mm-hmm.
Since the one for Swift was a short pass, and Swift just ran it. But then it was the 25-yard touchdown to DJ Moore for over the defenders. Right, it landed perfectly in DJ Moore's hands, and we were in Discord together watching this. Right as DJ Moore got the touchdown, and then Packers get the ball back. They get it down to the Bears 28. 7 seconds left to go. And it's a bad snap.
Right.
It's a bad snap. The play is already blown. Jordan Love tries to direct the traffic, heaves it up, and it is knocked down. Almost intercepted, but still knocked down. Bears, 31-27.
Yeah, and don't be surprised if Mike LaFleur has a pink slip in the next week or two.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Brendan McManus gets a pink slip. Let's face it, McManus is one of the worst kickers in the league today. Not unlike Lynn Elliott from 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, spade. McManus is the reason they lost this game, not Jordan Love. Jordan Love
not
played
Jordan
his
Love,
head off.
Not the defense was McManus.
Yeah, Jordan Love played his head off. 24 of 46, 323, 4 touchdowns. Running
Jordan
game.
Jordan Love was awesome. It was a great game to watch.
Yeah.
Josh, no rushing touchdowns, but laser.
Time, boys.
8 of 11, 124 in a touch for Romeo Doubs. Matthew Golden. We got to find the K-pop Golden bit. 4 of 5 for 84 in a touch.
His first career touchdown, I might add.
Uh-huh. 4 of 7, 43 for Jaden Reed. And Christian Watson, I presume. 33 of 7 for 36. He had the fourth touchdown. Over on the Bears side, Caleb was out. Well, he almost had to throw for 50. So, 24 of 48, 361, 2 touches, 2 picks. DeAndre Swift ran in for 1. And, of course, laser. Can't stop the tight end. 8 of 15, 137. But DJ Moore had that late touch. And Olamide Zaccheaus also had a touch as well. But, again, I have to ask this. Was it more about the Packers or the Bears?
It's two steps here. Number one is the injuries adding up for the Packers, and it finally added up to a point, because I mean, they had how many players out besides just Micah Parsons? I think Dontavian Wicks was a late scratch. There was somebody else who was a late scratch that we didn't know about until this game, so they were not healthy going in, number one. Number two, everything just fell off a cliff after halftime. When you start off your first four possessions all in punts, three of which were three and outs. You let the Bears get back in, let the Bears build back up so that they can be within striking distance, and then Brandon McManus, the sole reason that the Bears won this game is because Brandon McManus missed those three kicks.
Including one at the end of the first half, which was an omen of things to come. Yes, and indeed, the Packers, McManus certainly did them no favors, and the defense, well, they did quite well for one that was lacking in the presence of a Micah Parsons for 45 minutes, but it's a 60-minute game, and they completely fell apart in the fourth period, and the let down their guard, and the Bears took advantage of the opportunity and came through.
And this is despite the Bears losing the turnover battle, which normally they've been very good in, and it's like they had plenty of chances to get turnovers.
Yes, they did.
But they just couldn't convert on any of them.
Nope, they could not. And I will. And again, that's why the Bears are moving on to play the Rams. The Bears are. Well, we'll get that.
Okay, we'll get to there in a second.
We'll find out why in a moment.
The Sunday games start with the BS Wild Card Playoff Game of the Year. My prediction of this game almost came through. However, Superman did his job, right, VRM?
Yeah, oh, Josh Allen. Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things, and fourth quarter Bills doing fourth quarter Bills things.
And by the way, Trevor Lawrence, I think, is the real, okay? Trevor Lawrence is the real. He had a great game, 18 to, I mean, it's, you might sound, trust me, he did have a good game. 18 to 30, 207, three touches, two picks, one sack. No rushing touchdown, but again, laser. Parker Washington, 7 of 12, 107 and a touch. Travis Etienne Jr., I have a 5 for a touch. And Brian Thomas Jr. for a touch. Bills late game magic, and Josh Allen was absolutely superb. 28, and this is, again, this is the first road playoff win of the Josh Allen era, correct, if I'm not mistaken?
And the first since 1992. And by the way, everyone else was doubting the Bills. They all went with the Jaguars. I was the only one who went with the Bills. So, Wanda!
I'm not one to gloat, but I told you so, I told you so! wait, I'm not done. Okay, I'm done. Go Wanda!
Since I'm not one to gloat myself. And
no, but Josh Allen was superb. 28 to 35, 273, one touch, one sack. He also ran in for two, and including, I believe, the late one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is... Here, this is a story that's repeating, because this is the third straight game that has happened. Going into the two-minute warning, the Bills were trailing.
Well,
so in all three games so far that we've talked about, the winning team was trailing going into the 2 minute warning. This will be important shortly.
Oh, and by the way, I was watching NFL Elementary, and a very interesting fact happened, as I will talk about once everything is done. Okay? So, but this game was outstanding. Outstandingly entertaining. So we're going three in a row. I'm like, man, this is great. All right, BRM, cue Rainbow Dash, please. Let me tell you, remember
Dalton Kincaid caught a touchdown pass.
That is correct. I'm sorry about that. Right. But
this now was we can get to Rainbow Dash again.
Yes, but thank you.
And a foghorn to boot.
Well, remember I told you last week this was the game I had the most confidence in? Okay? I was right, but boy, at what a cost. Hit it.
Hero Achilles.
The San Francisco 49ers beat the Philadelphia Eagles 23-19. However, in that, it cost George Kittle the season, and probably next year too, right? Is it torn Achilles? What's the recovery on that?
It's got to be at least 8 months minimum for a rub. Yeah.
Wow. I'm just looking.
And that's, and like I said, that's minimum.
According to, well, once this gets up here.
Yeah. Several months to a year.
A torn account. Why did it do that? But live research, folks. Pardon this here.
You're looking at a basic minimum
six
of
months,
6 months,
but a full high 9 to 12 months or longer. So he may be out for the year next year. I mean, January 2027. He's done for next year. Does that make sense? Possibly.
Yeah. It's possible.
It's bad.
Almost definite. I mean, how old is George Kittle right now?
Let's see.
He's 32.
Oh, that's on. Yeah, that's the. Yeah.
So yeah, and he's on the upper. He's on the upper end. So he's definitely going to be a year.
And he also extended in April of 2025, 4 years, $76 million, including $40 million guaranteed. Okay. So we don't know what he's going to do, but man, that was a big loss. However, let's go to the Eagles for a sec. 20 of 35, 168, one touch. Saquon had a great game, though. Mega Buster, I think. Yeah. 26 carries, 106. That's what you were supposed to do. Dallas Goedert had the only touchdown, 4 of 7. A.J. Brown was 3 of 7. San Francisco 49ers.
Goddard had two touchdowns, one on the ground and one in the air.
So, thank you. 18 to 31, 262, two touches, two picks, one sack. Laser.
Laser time, boys.
Marcus Robinson, 6-7, 111.
Holy
one
crap,
touch.
DeMarcus Robinson out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know. If you had him on your daily fantasy team, you are a fucking liar. Okay.
I mean, it was like one of the first plays from scrimmage. I think was the huge 61-yard pass. Second play from scrimmage, 61-yard pass to DeMarcus Robinson. A few plays later, Robinson gets the touchdown.
That was a beautiful drive.
And also you had Christian McCaffrey, 15 carries, 48 yards, 6 out of 8 for 66 yards for 154 yards altogether, and 2 touchdowns in the air. And though he didn't score, Cloverleaf's Kyle Juszczyk grabbed 4 out of 4 for 49.
But yeah, if this was another situation with the second half, a team just entirely evaporates. In the second half, the Eagles punted their first two possessions, kicked a field goal, went 3 and out on their fourth, got another field goal, and then they brought this up. They were driving down four with under 2 minutes to play. And Dallas Goedert, who was Mr. Automatic pretty much, had it broken up out of his hands. Turnover on downs, game over. Although the Eagles decided to be the next to use their timeout, so they totally basically lost at that point. Anyway, cry, Eagles, cry! So with the Niners win, that seals up all of the seedings for the NFC as the lowest remaining seed meeting. Oh, Week 18 has come back, except it's going to be in Seattle this time. The Niners will be making the trip up to Seattle. The Rams are heading to Chicago. But we have no idea what's going on in the AFC, and time for the two games that we had four great games, four amazing games.
But I guess we might as well call this the wild card game.
Well, the Patriots are back in the playoffs, and they're winning again. It was pretty, but it was prettier than what the Chargers put out there. Oh, gosh.
The Chargers, it's a typical season for the Los Angeles Chargers. They make the playoffs and they don't take advantage of the opportunity. They just simply they didn't show up this time.
There's a word for that, Ian. It's called chartering.
Chartering. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Chargers chartered it. 16-3.
16-3 was the final from Foxborough.
Yeah, Justin Herbert, 19-31, 159. Obviously, no touchdowns, no picks.
Butterfly net.
Oh, that offensive line.
Success.
Rushing did not exist.
Receiver, and it was receiver by committee. None more than 30, 32, 30, 25, 20, 21, 12. Yeah, receiver by committee. And over on the Patriots side, thank you, Stewie. Drake May did all right for his first playoff game, 17-29 for 268, one touchdown, one pick, and a sip. If there's anything the Chargers were relatively decent at, it was on defense. 5 sacks. May also led the Pats in rushing, 10 carries, 66 yards, and Ramondre Stevenson, who had 3 out of 4, 75, and no touchdowns, but Keyshawn Booty went 4 out of 4 for 66, and Hunter Henry grabbed 3 out of 5 for 64 and a touchdown.
Yeah, but scoring was definitely an issue. It was 9-3 going into the fourth quarter, and it took almost halfway through the fourth quarter before the first touchdown, and the only touchdown of the game went on the board. And so, Patriots as the number 2 seed lock up a home game against. against the winner of the next game, because the Bills are now the lowest seed possible remaining, so they go to Denver. And now,
what that means is that Rich/Ralph Wilson/Highmark Stadium has already hosted its last game. There won't be another game in Georgia Park until next season, and it's going to be in the new Highmark Stadium. And now we go to the Berg on Monday night.
In the words of Urinating Tree, tonight on Days of Our Steelers. We talked about how the last game was game of the year of the week. This game, I'm glad I went to sleep in the middle of this game, because it was a snooze fest for the first half, and then the Steelers completely fell apart in the fourth quarter. I mean, their offense never got going to begin with. First of all, Aaron Rodgers. The numbers going towards the later half of this game. 17-33, 146, and his last, possibly one of his last passes
right.
of his career.
Yeah, was an interception.
It was a pick six.
Oh, wow. All joking aside.
Also a colander.
That's right, 4 sacks. But I have a question for you. Because we're going to talk about news about a couple of teams that were affected by this, these games. Do you believe that this is his last game? Is he done? Is he retiring?
I'd say that his race is probably run. He's accomplished pretty much everything that he probably wanted to, and you don't want to risk injury at your age now, do you? Look at what happened to Brett Favre, for instance.
Well, is Brett Favre a Hall of Famer yet?
Well, I think he is.
Well, To me, Aaron Rodgers should go. I mean, he had a better season than he did with the Jets, but he's done. He's absolutely done.
Yeah.
And yes, Brett Favre, 2016. So yeah. Yes, he went in.
Yeah.
So you had more VRM about the rushing and stuff?
Yeah,
sorry.
Pittsburgh's rushing non-existent, but then again, going against that defense, good luck doing that. DK Metcalf's leading receiver, welcome back, and enjoy your 42 yards and no score. Yeah, not much help over there. Over for the Texans, though, CJ Stroud wasn't much better. 21-32, 250, one score, one pick.
Didn't need it, though.
Yeah, thanks to Woody Marks.
Woody made his mark.
112 yards and a score. Nick Chubb added 48 more yards on the ground. Christian Kirk.
Laser time, boys.
Woof.
8 catches, 144 yards. Pretty much the bulk of the... Between him and Marks, the bulk of the Texans' offense. And it was the... And again... And see, he... C.J. Stroud put the ball on the ground 5 times, losing 2 of them.
Wow.
And yet, again, the Texans, 30-6.
Yes, including a scoop and score and a pick 6 by the defense.
Yeah. Yeah, the standard is the standard. 10-7 Super Bowl. Steelers are out in the first round once again. And so the Texans will be going to Foxborough.
So we have the schedule, which we're going to get to later. So what is the schedule for the divisional round?
It starts at 4:30 on Saturday. Both number one seed games are on Saturday. The Bills and the Broncos lead things off on CBS at 4:30, followed by the Fox nightcap Niners at the Seahawks. Texans and Patriots wrap up ESPN's coverage of the season at 3:00 on Sunday, and it's a nightcap for NBC. Rams at the Bears. At 6:30.
And then NBC gets a couple of weeks off before they broadcast the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, that's right. CBS CBS and Fox will get it on Sunday the 20th, right, I believe? Sunday, not the 20th. Sunday the...
The 18th. 25th.
This week's 18th. But we need a little bit of heroes and zeros here. Yeah, I'll make this quick. My hero player really is Josh Allen for the comeback against Jacksonville. My hero team, honestly, is the Chicago Bears. Because I believe that is the first time that they came back from an 18-point deficit to win. Is that right? Something to that effect? That's at least me.
At least in the playoffs, I think.
Right, okay. VRM, what do you got?
For me, it is Colston Loveland as the hero player. There. Because a lot of that Bears offense doesn't happen without Colston Loveland.
Okay.
Hero team in the loss, it's the Panthers.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because the Panthers showed up and they gave the Rams a fight. Honorable mention to the Jaguars, who also gave the Bills a big fight.
Yes, they did.
Just imagine if Travis Hunter was healthy.
Oh, that... Whoa! Yeah. We'd be talking about Buffalo potentially blowing up their team. Ian, finish it off.
Yeah, my hero players, Josh Allen, along with Woody Marks and Christian Kirk. My hero unit is the Texans defense, and my hero teams are the Bills and Da Bears for the way they played. Though you got to give honorable mentions to the likes of the Panthers and the Jaguars. But it's time to flip it.
Zero.
And my zero players are Justin Herbert and Brandon McManus. My zero unit is the Packers defense for playing like the Packers defense without Micah Parsons. And my zero team is the Discharged.
Okay, VRM, who you got?
Zero player is Brandon McManus. Again, it's hard to say when a person can single-handedly lose a game, except when that person is the kicker on a National Football League team, which in that case, yeah, they can single-handedly lose a game. He 7 points off the board from his foot. Zero team. It the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers ain't going to the Super Bowl this year, and they're probably not going next year. We'll talk about that.
For me, again, you're correct. But you know, my zero team is the reigning defending Philadelphia Buzzards. Okay. The Eagles, I love the fact that the turmoil, they're going to blow shit up so bad and they're going to start to do it. But I knew it. I knew they're terrible. They're awful. And honorable mention to the Packers for choking like dogs. Anyway, I believe it is now time to power up.
All right, Rangers, it's time to power up.
In a reduced version of the power rankings.
Yeah, this is now the
15 to 32 have been locked in.
Yeah, well, yeah, 15 to 32 are done. Panthers stay at 14. Packers stay at 13. Steelers stay at 12. Chargers stay at 11. Eagles stay at 10. And the Jaguars with the biggest and only, really. Down 6 to 9 because they are out. So
that locks up the 9 to 14 as well.
Correct. So now we have 49ers up 1 to 8. Bears up 1 to 7. Rams up 1 to 6. Texans up 1 to 5. Bills up 1 to 4. Broncos up 1 to 3. And the top two stay the same. New England Patriots at 15 and 3 at number 2. And the Seattle Seahawks at number 1. There's that. But we have a little bit of news to talk about.
Oh, we saw these coming. We saw these coming the moment these games ended.
I thought Tomlin was going to... Tomlin won, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I wasn't surprised that. I'm surprised that he stepped down, that he wasn't fired.
Yeah.
Or do you think they gave him the out that way?
I'm convinced that it was the
gentle
nebulous
push.
It was the nebulous mutual agreement.
Uh huh.
Meaning he got pushed out
gently.
Yeah.
Push.
Very
he had the tush push. Ha! That's funny. That's right. Yeah,
You know who got tush pushed out the door?
That would be Petullo.
Yeah, Kevin Petullo, the Eagles offensive coordinator, he got tush pushed and kicked out the door, as many fans were calling for from the Eagles all season long.
And you want to know something? I think that is going, and I'm going to be very real about this, and I know you can take the giant colored glasses off of this. This is going to help the Eagles big time.
They were misusing Saquon Barkley all year.
And also Jalen Hurts, too, and they were trying to satiate A.J. Brown too much. Once you get a good offensive coordinator in there, I think the Eagles will be back with a vengeance next year. I mean that for real. I'm not trying to be...
Yeah, I'm surprised that Sirianni wasn't isn't being looked at harder because of the incident between him and AJ Brown on the sideline.
True. I get that.
Because we saw AJ Brown. AJ Brown was livid. How much left is on his deal?
AJ Brown?
Yeah.
Okay. Looking. He signed a 3-year contract extension running through the 2029 season.
With a potential out next year. Does he have a no move clause? Because I have a feeling that he might be demanding soon.
I'm trying to see. He's got 3. Okay, the potential out is 2027. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know if he's got a no trade or not.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if he starts requesting, considering his actions on the field. But more coaches moving. Greg Roman.
Oh, by the way, he does not have a no trade clause. So, could move play. He could be moved.
Yeah. Greg Roman, also gone.
Okay.
The Chargers offensive coordinator, first of all, like, what are you going to do when half your offensive line goes out mid-year with season enders? There was one more. Oh, yeah. One more firing, which surprisingly didn't happen on the Monday. It took a little while to get to it. Mike McDaniel's out too.
Well, but again, they need a refresher there. They need someone to guide Tua to be better. McDaniel's was the cool hip guy that really didn't get anywhere. You know,
mm-hmm.
He really did. But with that, we need some fanfare. Well, the semifinals of the college football playoff happened this past week. This past Thursday was the Fiesta Bowl. And Miami escapes with a 31-27 win. But, man, that was a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun game to watch. And, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, Miami's sticking their nose up at all the doubters, including us.
Yeah, right.
It's like, I'm sorry. You wanted Irish? I'm sorry. What do these scoreboards say? What do these scoreboards say? What do these scoreboards say?
Miami 31. Miami 31. Ole Miss 27.
Yeah. Yeah, Miami's saying, yes, we belong here. We're going to the national championship game.
And they are playing, holy crap, Indiana University, who absolutely destroyed Oregon in the Peach Bowl. It was not close.
It was a massacre by all sense. I mean, first play from scrimmage, pick six.
Right.
Yep. Like wasting no time. 25-yard D'Angelo Pons, 25-yard interception return for a touchdown. And it just piled on. Fernando Mendoza, he didn't have a lot of yardage, but when your average starting field position, I'm actually gonna have to calculate this out. You can give me a second on this one.
Go for it. It's fine.
Okay. From the three. Okay. So we've got no pad. This is gonna take me a second.
All right, but
25.
Because I'm gonna okay.
On three.
I'm just trying to see what they have. Wow! That's a very wow, that's an interesting. I actually have to go to the to another place. I'm not gonna tell say where. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm looking to see what Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're of their scoring drives.
Yes.
Three of them started. Three of their scoring drives started in the red zone.
Wow.
So when you have when your drives are starting in the red zone, you're expected to put points up. 56. Yeah, Fernando Mendoza. 5 touchdowns. Kalen Black, 2 touchdowns. Elijah Surratt caught 2. Charlie Becker caught 1. Omar Cooper caught 1. EJ Williams caught 1.
Didn't he throw 5 of them?
Yeah. Fernando Mendoza, 5. Yeah.
He's going to help the Raiders so much. He really is.
Yeah, and he only threw for 177. But like I said, when three of your scoring drives start in the red zone, it's like, okay.
So, yeah. So, the game on the 19th, which is this coming Monday, Indiana is favored by 8.5 on a certain sports book I play. So, I'm asking you, who you got? Ian, who you got?
What we got is the resistible force against the immovable object. Yeah, like Indiana has been rolling up teams all season long, and especially in the college football playoff, while Miami has been very persistent, proving to the doubters, especially those of Notre Dame and the ACC, that they really and truly belong, and they must have had it not being included in the ACC championship game with it going to Duke instead, pretty much added some fuel to the Hurricanes' fire. So we'll see what happens when these two collide.
No, I have Indiana winning. I think Miami will cover, but I think Indiana wins. I think 8.5 is too much. What do you think, Vera?
Yeah. If Indiana even displays half of the offensive barrage they had this week, they will cover the spread. So I think it is Indiana's championship to lose.
Yes, it is, and it would be.
And also, don't forget, a stopper also hangs in the balance.
Yes, it would be. But it is now time for our picks in the divisional round. Let us start on Saturday. Buffalo travels to the number one seed, Denver, at Mile High or Invesco or whatever you want to call it. It's at 4:30 p.m. on CBS and Paramount Plus. Denver is favored by 1.5, so it's a picking game. What do you got? How are you, Ian?
Well, the Bills actually, they proved that they could win on the road, but they're going up against a totally different animal.
Literally.
And figuratively. And figuratively, yes. Denver's defense is pretty much stacked. And with that, I'm going to go with Denver to win and Denver to cover.
VRM?
It's a question of which combination of parts do we see? Do we see fourth quarter Bills offense? Do we see fourth quarter Broncos defense? And do we see them hit each other head-on collision style? Because in recent games, the Bills are a second-half team. The Broncos are a second-half team. And, I mean, we've seen it painfully so. Massive comebacks in the fourth quarter by the Broncos. So this one is a matter of who can play 60 minutes of football. And very slight edge for that home field advantage to the Broncos.
Cover two?
No, it'll be a 1-point game.
Okay. For me, this is a little different. I actually believe that Jacksonville is a better team than Denver is. Denver is one of those overachieving teams. I don't think Bo Nix is better than, say, Trevor Lawrence. And I think Josh Allen's magic continues, and I believe that I will take Buffalo to win and cover as well. Buffalo will get its second road win, and maybe and no, they won't host a playoff game, and go to a certain place for the championship game. Next up. An NFC West battle. By the way, you notice three of the four teams are from the NFC West. Oh, and by the way, did you also notice that the teams that won in both conferences were the second, the fifth, and the sixth this time around? 2, 5, 6. Both of them. San Francisco goes to Seattle. Seattle is favored by 7.5. I'm going to start this time, and this one is going to be easy for me. Unfortunately for San Francisco, dream ends here. Seattle is healthy. They've got Jackson Smith and Jigba. And they don't have George Kittle. Take Seattle, and they will cover 7.5.
Yeah. Aaron? Yeah. The injuries are finally adding up. It's like, yeah, you've kept Christian McCaffrey by some miracle healthy all season. But now you've lost your number one, basically your number one receiver. Like your defense is depleted, and you're going up against a team that held you to 3 points 2 weeks ago in your own house.
But the 2 weeks ago, but they weren't. But were they playing the first stringers though? For the most part,
they were, because they were playing for a seed. They were playing for number one seed.
Uh huh. Okay.
So yeah. I expect this one to be, this is going to be the Sam Darnold and JSN show.
Okay.
So Seattle wins and covers.
Ian?
Well, I have the Seahawks winning, but the 49ers, they've been through a lot of injuries themselves, and they've had that next man up mentality. But a next man up mentality can only go so far. I'm going to take the Seahawks to win. And as for the line, it's relatively tricky. I think I'm going to go for the 49ers on the line, but don't be fooled. I think it's probably going to be no closer than 6, and it won't really be as close as the score may indicate.
And we go to Sunday, ESPN game. Houston travels to New England. New England is favored by 3.
This is the interesting game.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
Because it is going to be one of the few times where Drake May is going to have to play against a competent defense. And not just a competent defense, but a very good defense. One that's just strangled the Steelers on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. in their own house. That said, the Texans offense is anemic. And did they lose Nico Collins, or did he end up coming back in?
I'm sorry?
And they lost Nico Collins. He's currently questionable because he's got a concussion.
Yeah, concussion. He's in concussion protocol, right?
Yeah. So this one is hard to pick. And as much as I would, and I know I picked Denver, as much as I would like to see the possibility of AFC East and the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the adage still rings true. Defense wins championships. Give me the Texans.
Sorry, it's going to be the AFC East. It's going to be young guns versus new guy. I think that CJ Stroud got lucky with the five drops. If he plays like that, it's going to be a bad day in Black Rock for Gillette for Mr. Stroud. Take the New England Patriots and cover. Ian?
And as I mentioned, defense wins championships, and the Texans have one of the best defenses out there, but don't skimp on the Patriots defense. They've been pretty solid as well, and it's going to be a relatively close one, and until the Houston Texans can actually win a divisional playoff game, I'm going to say that they won't. I'm going to take the Patriots to win, and as for the line, I'm going to call it even, a 3-point game.
And finally, Los Angeles Rams go into Soldier Field on NBC. Rams are up by 3.5, which is pretty much a picking game, at the Bears. I'm going to start this one. And the Rams looked past the Panthers. They ain't going to look past the Bears. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a franchise quarterback for the Bears. But this is where the dream dies. Rams will come in and cover.
Yeah, this one is more on the academic side here. The Rams are the more complete team. The Bears got lucky with the Packers collapse. There's still a couple question marks there. The defense, again, they want to win something, the defense is going to have to do something. But I think Stafford continues his MVP candidacy. So give me the Rams to cover.
And Ian.
Yeah, well, what is it that I always say this time of year? Never trust the North. Well, this time, of course, that saying still holds true today. Never trust the North. Well, true, Caleb Williams is going to have plenty of room to grow, and there are a lot of young guns in Chicago out there, particularly a lot of rookies that have made a lot of impact, but there's a good chance they'll have plenty of opportunities to learn from these playoff games. But for the here and now, I'm going to go I'm going to go with the Rams to win on the field and on the line.
So let's just go over our picks. My AFC Championship game is Buffalo, New England, and my NFC Championship game is Seattle, LA. Ian?
Mine is New England at Denver, a rematch of 2015. And that's for the AFC. For the NFC, it's the Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks.
And VRM.
Yeah, I think I'm the odd one out here on the AFC side. I've got the Texans at the Broncos for the AFC, and on the NFC is pretty much what we've all said. It's the Seahawks and the Rams.
Okay, and we will find that out next Tuesday what we're going to do, because that will be our last show before the watch-along, if I'm there for the watch-along, but we are going to have our watch-along February 8th from San Francisco.
You may have forgotten that we got to go over the conference championships first.
That's true. We do, and we will.
That's on the 27th or the 3rd, depending on availability and such, right?
Correct. So let us sell some soap. And VRM, I'm going to start with you because you and I are going to talk about...
Drew McIntyre is a marvelous dick.
Oh, he's so good. He is now the new WWE Undisputed Champion. And he, with a little help from Jacob Fatu, they are in Europe right now. And he went home to Glasgow a conquering hero, which he should be. Is he going to hold to WrestleMania? Who knows? And by the way, Bron Breakker is a beast. Did you see that drone shot of him spearing Dragon Lee?
From, like, how much speed did he get on that run-up? Because he was running.
Oh, but he folded Dragon Lee in half. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. Raw will be on, 3 p.m. this coming Monday? Also, the big deal is that this Thursday, Impact debuts on AMC with AJ Styles and Bully Ray on commentary.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I actually can watch it because it's actually on a channel that I get now.
I put it on the DVR. Over on WLTI, we'll be talking more Drag Race, more Champions Wild Card, and all the game show news over the past 7 days. Ian, what's up with you?
The Pigskin Posts are up with me Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Facebook page and the BS group. It's weeding down to a precious few. I have the NFL with the Destination Bay Area and Northern playoff exposure, which will continue as long as the Bears are still in the playoffs. And also, I'll be finishing up the college coverage, previewing the national championship game, and I'll be bringing back the stopper watch because an undefeated team in Indiana is going to be playing for the Natty, and we'll find out this time next week whether the stopper was used or whether we go through an entire season with one stopper being unused. And
now I have a question just on that. If Indiana wins, they go 17-0, correct?
I think it's
16.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's see.
Oh yeah. You just reminded me. Next week I'm going to have my final power poll of the season, and a spoiler alert, no matter who wins, Indiana's going to be number 1, Oregon's going to be number 2, and Texas Tech is going to be number 3.
Yes, they would go 16-0. Would that be the most ever in a college season?
I think it is.
Yes, there you go.
And I was saying, oh yeah, there's also help wanted for the NFL and for college and for high school football as well. Oh yeah, forgot to mention that I also have top players of the week for the playoffs in the NFL part. And for one thing, I'm going to be doing for next season, I'm going to be consolidating my fantasy football segment back into the NFL segment, where I'm only going to go over the top players and players to watch and stuff like that. Because I won't, next year, I'm planning on not doing putting my fantasy team with the Williams League into the subsequent Pigskin Post. Because really, at the end of the day, the only fantasy football team that really and truly matters most is yours. Yes, And I'll be back next week to see go over how things all went.
Yes. So we are done for this week. We had a great football weekend, but we've got 4 more games to check it out. And please do that. I'm guessing, VRM, I'm guessing that Tom Brady will be covering the Fox game. Do we have the broadcast teams? I'm guessing it's going to be Romo and Nance for the CBS.
I imagine it's going to be all the number one.
Fucking Aikman, Tony, Tom Brady. Who's his partner?
Burkhart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's all the number one teams for this week.
There you go. So for the vacationing Chico Alexander, Thank you, Ian. Thank you, VRM. My name is Jason Block. We will see you next week when we are going down from 8 to 4. And we will have our divisional and we will have our championship matchups set up and we will go over all of it. And we'll see you next week. Enjoy the football.